All right. So I was just saying, I think it very fitting that the Lord chose us in our own lives, in our own walk, how this body in particular, the many joints, the many members, and this is going to come through in the study today, I hope, how each one of us, if we're listening, if we're granted to glean the field that God's given us to be a part of, this is the field where, if you look at the story of Boaz and Ruth, that's just simply telling us who we are. We're Ruth, and we meet Christ in that field, and we are blessed to have this relationship with each other and to glean all the benefits of that relationship. If we listen, if we believe that we are Jesus Christ, and if God will grant that we continue to have that humility to be sitting at the feet of Christ and to listen and to know that it's all of the Lord, everything. Tonight's study, the subtitle is Kingship and Priesthood. And I could go right to the end of the study and show the verse that just simply says that's who we are. We're royal priesthood, but we'll come to that. And we'll be looking at the first two verses of these. I think there's 11 verses in Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So there is and there isn't, you know, depending on if you've heard it before, or maybe you just never saw it that way before, but we know that there's nothing new under the sun, and that's very true of the Word of God. It's the same story over and over, but it's important that we revisit it and that the Lord continue to open our eyes and help us share that word, break the bread, and that's what quickens us, because it's another meal. It's still the same message, the same hope, the same promise, but another witness. And every time we do that, it strengthens us. And God has been very careful to give us plenty of witness throughout the ages, types and shadows that were there written for our benefit. The book of Hebrews, like all the books of the Bible, were written for us, for our sakes, to help prepare us to be partakers of the kingship and priesthood that God has called us unto. That preparedness happens as a result of being sanctified by God's word, something that Christ has already experienced and accomplished for our sakes, who are called to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, when he had himself purged our sins. And it says that in other scriptures that Christ grew in knowledge, he grew in stature and wisdom. He had to go through a growing process. In Hebrews 1:3, this is the verse we just read. Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You have to put line upon line, because we know Christ said, of my own self, I can do nothing. The Father was doing those works through him, but he was that vessel of honor that God used, whose life was more valuable than all life because he created it all, who suffered and died. And of course, this is what this is all about. But now we're filling up what's behind of his afflictions for that very same reason, so that we can help bring others along and be those priests, those kings that God's going to use to his glory and honor. When we're cleansed by the word of God, it becomes more and more spiritually evident how all things are ours, as it says in 1 Corinthians 3:21. And how, as he is, so are we, really applies to us. The book of Hebrews is all about helping us understand the liberty that we have in Christ and the ongoing continual obligation we have to be bound to the altar as kings and priests who are growing in our ability to minister to one another, as we are being prepared to one day cover a multitude of sin without which are first being covered within us, as we boldly come before the throne of grace to obtain that mercy that we need today. Herein, now just look for that word multitude, if you would. Herein is our love made perfect, and the word perfect as well, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, which is today, because as he is, so are we in this world. So that should tell us something. First of all, Christ was being judged. His flesh had to go through a process of judgment. let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Well, I used to always read that and think, boy, I want to be that person. And then I thought, well, we are that person. Today, it really got bright in my heavens. It's like, this is something that God gives to the elect. We are going to cover a multitude of sin, starting with ourselves, but then being used as that sacrifice to help cover the multitudes, a great unwashed multitude that's spoken of in Revelation. Let him know. That's what we need to know. This is who we are. When we convert the sinner from the error of his way, shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let us therefore come boldly. And there's a judgment then, connected to judgment, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So this is our time of need right now. As long as we're in our flesh, it's a time of need. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And that's, of course, what we pray, that we can grow in God's love, the faith, knowing that when we do that as the body of Christ and by keeping God's commandments, being obedient, we're learning that process of washing. We're doing what Christ told us to do with that foot washing ceremony. Was all preparation for their kingship, the kings and priests that they were going to be, all those disciples. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So following through, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him, if there's actual fruit and works being accomplished. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. That's such a powerful verse. And you know, Satan is the accuser of the brethren, but God is greater than that. And he'll even allow that accuser to come up. He did against Christ and he will against us. But God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God. So this is what we're going to talk about tonight and throughout the series. I'm hoping that we can see, how do we develop that confidence? Where does it come from and how does God make it manifest? This is part of it. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As I said, this is our time of need right now, while we're in this earthen vessel that's passing. God the Father is actually the one cleansing us from our sins through Christ as we are dragged to him. And that's what it says. No man can come unto the Son unless the Father drags us to Christ. And Christ is now in the process of cleansing us from our sins as he upholds all things by the power of his word, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Because Christ has conquered the world within. His world within, all of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life within him, when he had by himself purged our sins. We can have great peace in knowing that through him, we can do the same thing. Yes, so because of that, because of Christ, who has conquered the world within himself, we can have great peace today. God's judgments in our lives is the necessary event that must happen to us today in order to have that peace that Christ speaks about in these following verses. And that came up in a previous study. I was so grateful, you know, to see things popping up that you had already written. God is just giving us that hug. We are so grateful for the confirmation. Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Including that peace, which is where I'm going with this. He declares peace for us. He says, you will have peace that passes all understanding. Behold, the hour comes, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is what we're talking about. Overcoming that world within. Christ has overcome that world. He says, yes, the world's going to get harder. The noose is going to tighten. We're going to be separated. We don't know what the Lord will do, but it will witness to his power, to his glory. So we don't need to worry. We don't need to fear. And that's what these scriptures are bringing out here. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Because we know it's a false peace. It's not going to happen the way that the world expects. They can't force peace. They can't have peace without Christ. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And that comes back to that point of being sanctified. If Christ goes away, we're no longer dead in our sins. We have a Savior who's cleansing us. We're overcoming. We're being sanctified. So this section is being sanctified by his word. Christ says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I hope that I bring out that all of these verses are connected to Hebrews, to Christ being that high priest, and to us being that priest toward one another, kings and priests, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Colossians 1:24 shows us that the suffering and the sanctifying are connected. Sanctify them through thy truth, which is what we know. Let us be glad and rejoice. See how those two things are connected? Who now rejoice, let us be glad and rejoice. And give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, which is just another way of saying, sanctify them through thy truth. And that's just the elect. That's a very high calling, to know that you're being sanctified. You're being put through all of these afflictions and tribulations and trials so that you can be that bride of Christ. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And I read this, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect, and notice that, love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. So that's our answer. That perfection comes as a result of our judgment. We would naturally fear. Peter didn't think he was fearful. He was fearful. He was deeply fearful. And Christ prophesied and said, I know exactly what you're going to do. Just so that we understand, there's no boasting. Boasting is excluded by the law of faith. Then he was given the faith after that. And he was able to do it. Once he saw the hypocrisy of flesh, then he was able to carry through. So when we have that faith and God strengthens us, then there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. But we have to live that first part. We have to have that torment, those years of feeling insecure, unable to do what we want to do. Like it says in Romans, the good that I want to do, I don't. And the evil that I don't want to do, that I do. God's causing all of that so that we really see the contrast when his love then comes into our lives, strengthens us, and gives us the ability to overcome. He that fears is not made perfect in love, it says. So that's the goal, is to not fear, but to realize that it's by Christ that we're growing in that ability to overcome and no longer fear. Fear is overcome through judgment that puts off our flesh and perfects love within us as we are healed by his judgments in our earth. Psalms 107:20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Those judgments sanctify us in this age as the bride of Christ, so we can learn of his righteousness typified by the fine linen he has granted us in Revelation 19:8 that we just read. That abundance that God gives his elect of his righteousness is typified for us in the story of Joseph, and it is about it. Both with the messes of food, that was five times so much as any of theirs, five is grace, and the 300 pieces of silver. That's the repentance part, and also the process silver and the process of three, and five changes of raiment. That's like grace. That's how we end up having that fine linen that represents the righteousness of Christ. It's through the grace that cleanses us. Genesis 43:34 says, to all of them, he gave each man changes of raiment. So that's important to notice. That's in Genesis 45:22. They all got changes of raiment. And that reminds us that all men will be saved, and that these brothers, who in this instance represent the unconverted masses, are beloved for the gospel's sake. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. That fine linen will be needed so that we can be sent to heal the nations without one day. Isaiah 26:9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early, for when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Of course, that's a process, just as it is for us. And John 20:21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So think about that. Now, Christ, the Father sent Christ, and we know what happened to Christ, and we know that he didn't convert anyone. So we're sent into that thousand-year period, not to convert the world, but to witness like Christ did, but to ultimately do greater works once the Holy Spirit is received within us. And we have the Holy Spirit for that reason, to experience those greater works of those who are being drawn to Christ, to the body of Christ, to cover that multitude of sins that we talked about earlier, first within the body of Christ, and then ultimately covering all of the sins of the world because we've been cleansed. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that you may see. We read those. The next day, John 1, verses 29 and 30, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. And as he is, so are we. So just put that verse right there, because you're going to do that. We're going to do that. If we're cleansed, it's for that reason. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now that's interesting. The natural precedes the spiritual, and we are like Christ in this world. And John the Baptist represents the natural that precedes the spiritual man, Christ. Notice, however, John says, for he was before me, which tells us that our lives were predestined before the foundation of the world, because we are as Christ, to be those saviors who would come up on Mount Zion. So there's a parallel, another parallel with the life of Christ and the life of the elect. Revelation 1, verses 6 and 7, and has made us kings and priests, and God and his Father, to him be glory, and to God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and those clouds are the elect. They represent the great cloud of witness that we are. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And in the second resurrection, all eyes will see him. That's very possible, because everyone's resurrected at the same time, the second resurrection. He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Our kingship and priesthood are connected with our understanding and confident conviction of heart that God is sending that great cloud of witness through the church into our hearts and minds today, so that we can begin to see him for who he, Christ, is, and by extension, who we are with our hope of glory within. That is being revealed by the brightness of his coming, that is destroying our old man of sin who is typified by all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So that's the inward application within us. All those nations and kindreds are guilty of the blood of Christ, and they have to come to acknowledge that. We give that accounting first. We know what's in us, but we also know what Christ can do through us to give us dominion over sin. Our hearts, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, must be pierced in order to be that great cloud of witness tomorrow that will be used to judge the Mount of Esau. Those saviors that come up on Mount Zion are the kingship and the priesthood that we've been talking about that will be used to reveal many hearts or save many alive. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And this really ties into the first part of Hebrews, but the entire book of Hebrews. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. So how do we do that? How do we cast all of our cares upon the Lord? How do we overcome? Hebrews 10, 22 to 25. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And you know, Lord, help me in my unbelief. If you feel you don't have enough faith in that, pray for that faith, because this is where the solution is, right here. Having the faith, having the boldness to come before God and say, Lord, increase my faith. Help me in my unbelief. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised to cleanse us, to do all these things, to strengthen us, to hear us when we're in the garden, when we're going through our trials. Great is his faithfulness. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. How are we going to provoke one another unto love and good works if we're out playing golf all day? Not that there's anything wrong with golf, but just as an example. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we can all do this. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And then I ask, how is this done? We just read that. So we can all do this. And this is what we want to do. This is what it's all about, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Your conscience, holding that faith, that mystery of faith in a pure conscience, can't happen unless the conscience is cleansed, unless we're being granted to come boldly before God, unless we're being introspective and recognizing, I have to die daily. This is a daily thing to be able to come before the throne of grace. And that's the need. The need is there. God made us that way so that we are kept humble throughout our whole life. We're always going to have that need to die daily, to examine ourselves, to ask the Lord to cleanse us, to help us to put the past behind us, to give us the power to keep pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. So after all of that, and let us run with patience, because that's all the things that we're doing. Run that race with patience that is set before you. That is the race set before us. It's one of introspection, of prayer, of study, of possessing our souls patiently, as it says here, and acknowledging our constant need for that high priest, Jesus Christ, to get us through this life, and the body of Christ, where Christ resides, to help us as that high priest works through each of our lives. So we confess our faults to one another properly at the right time. When we know the Lord has brought us to that point, and we're blessed, we're healed because of the prayers of the saints. When the elders pray over someone who's sick, spiritually or physically sick, that is our calling. That's what we're learning. As I said, that's our exercise today, so we can be those priests who will do the same thing later on in the lake of fire. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So knowing that God orchestrates that contradiction, the accuser of the brethren, that's all of the Lord. And here is the scriptures that bring that out. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So Satan's not worried about the rest of the world. Someone once said to me, he has the world in his hip pocket. It's the elect, and he knows. And he knows we are the apple of God's eye. But there's no reason to be afraid of that. It's just know your enemy. Know what we're up against. God knows what we're up against. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of God, of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren. Look at the connection. And the power of his Christ, right next to the idea, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. That's what we do right now with Jesus Christ. We have the ability to cast down all the false accusations that are coming, that are part of our walk, that we're part of Christ's life at the end of his life. Very, very instructive for us to see that, so we can have hope and know that we're going to overcome through Jesus Christ. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by that sanctifying process, by that sprinkling of our conscience, and by the word of their testimony, by being a witness to those things and being a light in this world. And they loved not their lives unto the death. We saw ourselves as unprofitable servants, and we knew God was working this for the benefit of those who were our accusers, those who were against us. We love them. We said, we love them. We want them to know what we know. They will know what we know. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Pardon me. The next section is resisting unto blood. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So how is this done? Hebrews 13:13 says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And that's the connection. So we resist sin by bearing one another's burdens, by going without the camp and trusting the Lord and asking him for the faith and strength, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Just go up a second here. Yeah. And then, nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. So the spiritual reason that's true is because we die daily. We die in Jerusalem. We die in Jerusalem above. That's where we're dying. So we're not going to die outside of Jerusalem. We're going to die daily in Jerusalem. That's what we're being told there. So the physical is revealing that spiritual reality. And where is that happening? This is the promise. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, which is a Jerusalem above, where our mother is, the mother of us all. That's where we are. That's where we die daily. That's why no prophet will die outside of Jerusalem. I protest by your rejoicings, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And that's in the aorist tense there, that is making us, it's an ongoing process. So that resisting, as we can see, it's critical, that judgment, that resisting to keep under ourselves. Like Paul said, I after I preached to others, he knew, no, this is an ongoing battle. I have to keep under myself. I don't consider myself to have obtained. I've got to keep under myself. But I know God's faithful, because he's been faithful all along, and he will strengthen me. And that's the message of Hebrews. Yes, he knows we're way over our heads here. This is way, way over our heads. That's exactly what God wants. If you look at the history of Israel, the Red Sea, it's always that way. to the glory of God. The book of Hebrews will reveal to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear that the things that were revealed to those prophets of old at many times and in many ways, that's the easy standard version, throughout the Old Covenant, and more specifically, the book of Leviticus, are clearly connected with the book of Hebrews for God's elect today to help us to be sober. It's the English Standard Version. In these last days, which have been the last days for those, all those since Pentecost, who have been given the gift of grace and faith through God's Holy Spirit, so that we can understand how all these ancient rituals of the Jewish priesthood are connected to the inward Jew that we are today. But as it is written, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And I don't have the verse there, but in 1 John, I think it's 2, somewhere around there, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Not, that's why the world can't see these things, because we're hidden in Christ, and they don't understand the love that God has for us first. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, but God has set his love on us. And it's all for the sake of his plan, for the good of all. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Pardon me. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, like we just read at many times and in many ways, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them at many times and in many ways, all throughout the history. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, knowing that, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope. That's that confidence, that boldness, that asking God for the faith, go before the throne of grace boldly to be cleansed. Don't let anything hold you back. Don't let anyone take your crown, especially yourself. Recognize that we are all in this struggle together, but nothing should be able to separate us from the love of God. That's what we've been promised. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. And of course, Romans 2, 28, 29, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, and in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And that's what God tells us. He says, rend your heart and not your garments. He wants us to know that he is rending our hearts. He's breaking our hearts. He's piercing our hearts because he wants us to be healed. And he wants us to recognize that we're more than conquerors through Christ and that nothing can separate us from his love. That's why he's doing that. So we're only going to look at two verses, or three, I guess.
Two.
The first one, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. The prophets of old, of course, and we know these things, but they typify the elect and were a type and shadow of the first fruits who are the first to hear Christ's voice in this age, which is what James 1:18 says. We are a type of first fruits. We are now able to see and hear as we are saved by grace. Are you saved through faith? And learn from those patient prophets of old who were not prophesying unto themselves, but unto us. All these events of old were types and shadows of God's elect, his kings and priests, read in Hebrews 11, 140. And you know the litany of examples there of acts of faith, typical faith, right? Faith that wasn't the faith that God has given to the saints that is being used to give us the power through Jesus Christ to endure unto the end. but faith nonetheless. And that's what the scriptures tell us. If you have faith as great as to move a mountain, but if you haven't love, then, well, that's the difference. We have God's love shed abroad in our hearts, working with that faith. So there is an obedience there that they couldn't have it. It was impossible. The least is greater than John. So his kings and priests read in there and were recorded for our benefit. The very few who would be called and chosen in this age, those are the few who are benefiting from these amazing stories. And given today we are, and given to understand that the sanctification process we're going through comes as a result of much tribulation, which is what they went through, that in this instance is very clearly detailed. If you go through those stories, it's amazing how many parallels. And there's a whole chapter, of course, we'll be coming to that eventually. So Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. And of course, it's through much tribulation, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Continue in the faith. Hebrews 11, you read that and you say, you know, if they can go through that, that's continuing in the faith. And those things were written for our sakes. So that's confirming. When I read Hebrews 11 now, I say, well, if they can go through that, then I can go through that through Jesus Christ. I can endure all things. James 1:18 talks about the first fruits. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. And your patience possess your souls. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with many, with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Now, that is within, of course, the desolation within. And how does that desolation come about? It's explained right here in 2 Thessalonians. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's the desolation that we need to understand, the inward application of those that first Jerusalem being surrounded and destroyed, so that we can be connected with Jerusalem above. For many are called, but few are chosen. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we're talking about here, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So I'm sure that any one of those people, when they were facing those incredible trials, you know, someone was sawn asunder. I think it was Isaiah. That's the folklore. That may not be true, but trials that were enormous, where great faith was needed. And it was all being accomplished for our sakes to help us see that we can endure through Jesus Christ. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. In the verse 2. And just to elaborate on that point a little more, you know, it's one thing to have faith. And again, those stories were written. God is very particularly taking our faith as the body of Christ and manifesting the love of God through us. So it doesn't matter how many things you do, you could lay down your life to burn, and many people do. And that's the great confusion in the second resurrection. People say, well, haven't I done many wonderful works? I mean, what's Mother Teresa going to say, or anyone else who's given their whole life to helping the poor? Well, that's the contrast that God's creating. He calls the weak of the world, and he says, they have the love of God shed abroad. And they were my sons and daughters. I love them first. I set my love on them first. So all glory is to God. But it's a very humbling process that we all have to go through to come to acknowledge that faith is not all that's required. It's obedience, and it's God's love working with that faith, working together. The manifold knowledge of God is made known through the church in these last days. That's what Ephesians 3:10 tells us. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So it's being made known unto us in our heavens through Jesus Christ working in the body, through the many or manifold parts of that body, each joint supplying in love, as it says in Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Every part typified by how God in the past, God spoke to our people through the prophets. He spoke to them many times and in many different ways. So many different parts working back then, type and shadow parts that demonstrate who we are together as a body of Christ. The new heaven and the new earth, or the new world, is being fashioned within the body of Christ today. So when we read, by whom also he made the worlds, it is speaking of an age of coming, becoming a new creation for God's people, as all the sins of the world within us are overcome through Christ. where was I? And is, yeah, through Christ, and is typified through those worlds of old that were already created by Christ, by whom also he made the worlds. So we know that, we talked about that, the creation week and all that God created, that's typifying the process of overcoming. And God has made that, the physical revealing the spiritual from start to finish. Christ is the one who our Father has appointed heir of all things in this verse, to the end that through the church, of which Christ is the head, we can all go on to perfection on the third day or first resurrection, and then be used of God as kings and priests who will be instrumental in bringing about the all in all spoken of in 1 Corinthians 15:28. But we are kings and priests now, but everything is in earnest now. And that's what we're learning, kings, learning to rule, learning to minister, and being able to be subject unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When all things shall be subdued unto him, then the Son also himself will be subject unto him, the Father, that put all things under Christ, him, that God may be all in all. We are also joint heirs with Christ if we suffer with him. And that just comes straight out and says that, Romans 8:17, if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And if we don't suffer with him, go through that process with him, and for as a body, for filling up what's behind of his afflictions for the church, then we're not those heirs. And that's just clearly being stated here. This is what God is telling us. Genesis 22:17. Then in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee, thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. So, yeah, it's important that I read this. And that heritage of the saints was typified in the promises that were passed down through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we read Romans 8:14. There's the first one. This is Abraham. And it says, thy seed. Now, we know that's talking of the church. He says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ and his body. Then the second one is Isaac. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, as are the children of promise. And then, of course, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince have you power with God and with men, and have prevailed. Galatians 6:16 tells us who that is. And as many as walked according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy upon the Israel of God. That's the good name that we desire. To wrestle through the night, to endure unto the end, is the reward, is to have that good name, to be blessed and holy as he who has part in the first resurrection. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. And Christ went on to be very clear about that, willing to give up everything, anything you can think of physically, including our own lives, completely and totally. And that takes time to truly get that in our hearts, to see that perspective and to hold fast to it. And that's what we pray for each other, to hold fast to your crown help each other, to encourage each other, provoke one another unto love and good works. That's the love and good works, is to endure unto the end, because there's no greater reward, there's no greater blessing than to be in that blessed and holy first resurrection. I don't know what happened here. Oh, next week, Lord willing, we'll look at the next four verses of this chapter that are primarily concerned with giving us some perspective as to how great Christ is and what he can and has and will accomplish through those who have been called in this age to be part of this holy kingship and priesthood. So it's a very encouraging section. It just goes on and on about how God has promised he can do these things through Christ. You will drink the cup. Just set your mind on what's before and forget what's behind, because God says, I've got it under tow. We are bound to the altar. We're going to help each other get there. And if we feel we lack faith, we're going to help each other in that regard. We're going to pray for faith. And God's going to produce that faith and that encouragement through the body of Christ, through the many joints that supply. And the world will see that discipleship, that great love we have for one another, that holding fast to Christ in each other that really nourishes and builds us up. So here are the last two verses. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Which is a good closing scripture for our first part of our study. That's it. Thank you all for coming out.